Like holy water, like sand on a bird, rain in a drought, it's all over.
Welcome to the Feeling Better podcast. My name is Maria, and I'm the host of this podcast, former gambling addict and devoted Christian homesteading wife. I'm also the author of the Feeling Better 10-4 program that teaches you a practical, effective, inspirational 10-week program to help you overcome your compulsive gambling addiction, which you can listen to in the first 15 episodes of my podcast. Thanks so much for being here. Oh man, can I just tell you, this bug I got kicked my butt. I actually think my hubby and I ended up with COVID. We didn't bother getting tested. We didn't see the point. For one, I think everyone knows by now that coronaviruses mutate rapidly. Back when I was in high school in the 90s, I had a health class and had to write a term paper for a big chunk of my semester grade. I chose the topic, will there ever be a cure for the common cold? I spent several weeks researching, which back then consisted of going to the public library and using the card catalog to pull out books and journals. And what I had learned, even back then, is that the term cold or flu that we humans have been getting throughout time each winter season is actually some version of a virus. Not talking about the influenza viruses, which are a whole different kind of viruses. There are three general viruses that float around each season that encompass many forms and many versions of the cold and are pretty ubiquitous. The most common virus that we get each year as a cold is the rhinovirus. A rhinovirus is a type of enterovirus, which is a broader genome and encompasses thousands of different versions and mutations that present themselves in different ways. The rhinovirus makes up about half of all colds that we get each season. But back then, I also learned about coronaviruses, which I had distinctly wrote as being the second most common cause of seasonal colds, making up about 15 to 20% of respiratory illnesses every year. The conclusion of my paper was that typically, with viruses, whether rhinoviruses, enteroviruses, or coronaviruses, the best cure is prevention. Most effectively, that prevention usually is in the form of a vaccine, but in the case of the common cold with one of those three viruses, vaccines were not possible because no vaccine would provide lasting immunity due to the rapid nature of mutation, which is why infection and reinfection happen so frequently. Anyway, long story short, coronaviruses are nothing new. Some strains are more virulent than others. I remember going to my doctor in January of 2020 for an eczema issue I was having, and the reports of COVID were just starting to seep out into the news. I had asked my doctor, a super smart guy who had been doing his thing for a very long time, if he was worried about it. He shook his head and said, "Nah, it's a coronavirus. Might be a potent strain that could be hard on the elderly or people with autoimmune issues, but coronaviruses come and go every year. It's nothing to worry about. It's just a slow news month, is my guess." But here we are 4 years later. My hubby and I never got any vaccines, mostly because of that paper I wrote in high school. I knew it was impossible for anyone to create a vaccine that would have any lasting effect beyond a few months, and that in many cases it would be pointless and useless, that you'd have to continuously keep getting different vaccines because the virus mutated so rapidly. Which is the same reason I never took a single COVID test. What was the point? If I would start to feel sick, I would just implement the same common sense that society always used up until 2020. Stay home, rest, drink plenty of fluids, and take cold meds as needed. Now, I'm not minimizing or diminishing the stories of people who lost loved ones to COVID over the last 3 years. Indeed, it was a potent strain and it was hard on the elderly or those who were immunocompromised, but it's still just a coronavirus. Living out in the country the way we do and also working out of our home, my hubby and I didn't encounter many germs. So it's been several years since we've been sick. Back in January of 2019, we'd gone to Orlando for a work trip, and I got horribly sick afterward with some kind of respiratory thing. But that was the last time I'd been seriously sick up until these last couple of weeks. The reason why I believe it was COVID that knocked us down is because about 3 days ago, I completely lost my sense of taste and smell. Ugh, that was horrible. It's slowly coming back, thanks to lots of fish oil supplements and vitamin D and zinc and a gazillion cold meds. At first, I hadn't been able to smell a single thing, and my coffee tasted like pond water. Not that I ever drank pond water, but if I did, that's how it would have tasted. It was a huge bummer because I really love my morning coffee. The first morning when I discovered the loss of taste and smell, I actually thought I forgot to add the coffee grounds to the brewer. I was sitting in my dark living room with only a dim light on, and I had to shine my phone's flashlight into my cup to see if it was coffee colored. It was, so I just shrugged, figuring I missed a scoop. But then later in the day, I had grabbed a bottle of one of my favorite essential oils. It's called Joy, and it's made by Young Living. I'd had this bottle for a couple of years now. It's a floral and citrus scented oil with geranium and rose and bergamot, lemon, and tangerine. It always reminds me of springtime for some reason, and it's very uplifting. In the winter, when I need a pick-me-up, I always add a few drops of Joy oil to my wrists. So that day, I'd taken my bottle, added a few drops of oil to my wrists, rubbed them together, and took a deep inhale. Nothing. Not even a hint of a smell. And it's really strong-smelling oil. That's when I knew. Thankfully, my sense of smell is starting to slowly come back, and each day I incrementally feel a little bit better, but I'm still congested, as you can tell. So hopefully, I'll be feeling and sounding more like my old self next week. Chapter 8, The Imbalance of Character and Integrity, is too important of a topic to just breeze through and record with a nasally sounding voice, so I'll be bringing that to you next Sunday, the 17th. I've got a couple of doozy stories for you related to that topic, so I'm sure it will be entertaining. In the meantime, though, I want to encourage any of you who are struggling this holiday season, whether you're healthy or under the weather yourself. Believe me, I know it's tough when the days are short and dark and cold, and boredom can set in. I was just having a chat with one of my problem gambling friends who told me she was having a tough time. She's nearly 2 years bet-free, which is amazing, but confessed that she missed the dopamine rush of playing and was thinking about gambling. Even though she's a strong woman, and I know she'll be able to resist the temptation, I'm going to give you all the same advice that I gave to her. Now is the perfect time to take up a new hobby. If you're feeling bored and restless and are thinking about gambling, I want you to contemplate taking on a new hobby. Something that you've always wanted to do but haven't tried yet. I've been watching videos on sourdough bread making. This is something I've been wanting to do forever, and I know one day I'm going to take the plunge and try my hand at it. Is there something culinary that you've been wanting to try? Maybe cheese making or baking or pasta making? Maybe take on the hobby of trying out different smoothies, experimenting with fruits and vegetables and greens powders in order to get healthier for the new year and support your immune system. Maybe you try crocheting or knitting. There are tons of YouTube videos out there that are instructional for beginners. Perhaps it's redecorating a room in your home, or paint-by-number artwork, or scrapbooking, or genealogy. Another great one is gardening. Even if you don't have a large space, it's so easy to garden using containers, planting fresh herbs and lettuces for salads. One of my favorite things to do this time of year is pore over the heirloom seed catalogs and websites, looking for fun new varieties to grow in the spring. Several years back, I'd been into essential oils and started making my own toiletries and body butters and ointments. Maybe you've always wanted to learn how to play the guitar. Or perhaps you can download Duolingo and learn a new language. Spend some time planning a fun springtime vacation trip. It doesn't even have to be expensive. Maybe a road trip to see national parks and monuments. You can also consider collecting something, Christmas ornaments or antique china or old maps. Maybe you start rock collecting or coin collecting or collecting some kind of figurines or books. I know I recently recorded a podcast episode about collections, obsessions, and hobbies, but there's nothing wrong with beginning a new hobby or starting a new collection as long as it's only there to keep your mind in a positive place and give you something fun and exciting to do to keep you from thinking about gambling, not to become a brand new obsession. I challenge you, dear peeps, to find something new to do as a hobby. Maybe you get into exercising and commit to making yourself healthier than you've ever been. It was this time, 8 years ago, that I decided I wanted to lose some weight and get into running. So I got on the treadmill and started watching videos and researching and reading. And by the time June came along, I was running 10Ks. I'm telling you, the dopamine rush of a runner's high beats out anything I ever felt gambling. Take a few days to think about it and ponder what it is that has always intrigued and interested you. If you come up with something, I want to hear it. Shoot me an email, maria@thefeelingbetter.com. And if you're really struggling with finding peace and contentment, I'm going to recommend something that I am doing this week. As I'm sure you can understand, I'm feeling a little bit down and under the weather and frustrated at my lack of energy. So I'm listening to an audiobook. I don't know if you're familiar with who Corrie ten Boom was. She was a remarkable Dutch woman born in the late 1800s in Holland to a famous watchmaker. She and her family were devout Christians, and during World War II, when the Nazis occupied the Netherlands and began arresting Jews and sending them to concentration camps, Corrie and her family began to hide the local Jews who were part of their community. Her family were devoted readers of the Old Testament and believed that the Jews were God's chosen people. The family became very active in the Dutch underground, hiding Jewish refugees. The refugee work which Corrie and her sister Betsy did at their home became known by the Dutch resistance, which sent an architect to their home to build a secret room for the Jews who were in hiding and an alert buzzer that could be used to warn the refugees to get into the room as quickly as possible. Thus, the Ten Boom family created the hiding place. Sadly, they were eventually caught. In Corrie's most famous book, The Hiding Place, she writes her biography that recounts the story of her family's efforts and how she found and shared hope in God while she was imprisoned in the concentration camp. There, Corrie and Betsy held worship services after the hard day's work by using a Bible that they managed to smuggle in. Through the two sisters' teachings and examples of unfailing charity, many of the prisoners there converted to Christianity. Corrie lived to be 91 years old, and she is very well known and loved for her bravery and courage and her devout faith in God. I love her story because it's a reminder of how good we have it, how privileged we are to live in this current time of peace and safety, and how blessed we truly are to live a life where our most potent struggle is our winter boredom and desire to gamble. She left behind a legacy that amounted to a huge treasure in heaven, which she is now enjoying to the fullest, I have no doubt. Her biography, The Hiding Place, is on audiobook, and it's fantastic. It's a riveting, heart-wrenching story. If or when you're tired of the Christmas Hallmark movies, or the church sermons about the Nativity, or if you find yourself depressed and wallowing in dark pity and restless ennui, I nudge you to find something like that to strengthen and encourage you. Other people's stories of strength and faith are perfect ways to humble us and get us through what we think are dark times. I assure you, they aren't as dark as you think they are. The Holocaust and other events in history are great reminders of that. Sorry for the short and sweet little update here, but I pray you're all staying healthy and enjoying the Christmas holiday season. God is good all the time. Remember, the true reason for the season is we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless, stay safe, and I'll see you again next Sunday.
Like holy water, like sand on a bird, rain and a drought, it's all over now.